Hello and welcome everyone. I'm Pete Denby, co-founder of Hyperfinity, the decision intelligence platform for retail. This is To Affinity and Beyond, our podcast about decision intelligence, data science and AI, with a particular focus on all things retail. Today, we're demystifying decision intelligence, a fast-growing tech category that's rapidly being adopted by leading retailers. I'm joined today by my Hyperfinity co-founders, Adam Barraclough, our Chief Data Officer, and Damon Bryan, our Chief Technology Officer. So coming to you first, Damon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Pete. I am good. Looking forward to the podcast. I think it's only the second one I've been on, actually. So yeah, thanks for inviting me again.
Excellent. Looking forward to hearing your views. And Adam, how are you?
Yeah, all good. Thank you. Yeah, looking forward to a bit of time talking about decision intelligence.
Excellent. Our favourite topic.
Definitely.
Okay, cool. So let's get stuck in. We'll start by rewinding to 2008, and Dr. Lorien Pratt and Mark Zangari's research first introduced the field of decision intelligence. Then in 2018, Cassie Kosiakoff developed it further in her role as chief decision scientist at Google. Fast forward to 2023, and Alibaba has named decision intelligence one of their top 10 technology trends. Meanwhile, Gartner predicts that more than a third of businesses will employ decision intelligence in the next 2 years. So what exactly is decision intelligence? Well, Forbes define it as a new field that helps support, augment, and automate business decisions by linking data with decisions and outcomes. And at Hyperfinity, we define decision intelligence as a commercial application of data science and AI to enable joined-up, customer-centric decision-making. So coming to you, Damon, what exactly does decision intelligence mean to you?
Okay, so decision intelligence for me is about the connection of data and insight through modern technology and data science principles such as engineering, AI and BI across an organization. This for me enables faster, more accurate data-led decisions to apply in commercial decision making. And also for me, even though automation is a big part of decision intelligence, it isn't just about replacing humans with fully automated processes. It's about giving humans the tools and data to make better decisions while speeding up their ability to get to this intelligence.
Okay, and how about you, Adam? Would you anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I like the broad definition that Forbes have there around just making better decisions and linking that to the outcomes. And I guess, you know, we've got to think about why is that not the status quo right now? You know, what else needs to be done to get there? And I think it's the things that Damon was talking about there. So putting, you know, customer data at the center of decision making, linking decisions together, layering data science and AI techniques together so that they build upon each other to create something more powerful, embedding that in usable tools through BI, through focus tools on the decisions that people have to make regularly, in our case, within retail. Taking that kind of value creation, the decision making, and then measuring those decisions. For me, that's the package of why decision intelligence is needed and how it elevates itself above what the status quo is right now.
Okay. And thinking about that status quo then, so decision intelligence is a relatively new concept and a trend. So how would retailers have gone about making decisions before the advent of decision intelligence?
So I think it's important to state at this point that data-led decision-making in retail isn't a new thing. Traditionally, retailers have tried to use data where possible to make decisions. For instance, using things like historical sales data is always and always will be an effective way to predict future sales. But as technologies become more powerful, I think it just means that decisions can be made faster and more accurately based on more data. And retailers are no different to any other industry when it comes to adopting the latest technology to help out with day-to-day operations. However, I think traditionally major functions within retailers have been making decisions in silos, decisions aimed at achieving their own functional goals without fully understanding the wider impact those decisions might have on the rest of the business. And also decision-making functions don't necessarily have the right data or tools and solutions at their fingertips. or don't have the necessary data science skills to derive insight from data. But for me, this is where decision intelligence comes in. Connecting decisions across the business is key. And this means connecting data, getting the right insight into the hands of the right people, and destroying the data silos that exist within a business. And decision intelligence is all about connecting data and insight for me, putting customer data at the heart of any decision, but ultimately allowing teams to forecast the holistic impact of decision-making across a set of interlinked business decisions.
Okay, yeah, I think they're all good points. And Adam, anything that you would add to that? I mean, you've obviously spent time working in retail businesses yourself. So what have you seen in the past, and how does decision intelligence help kind of step things on?
Yeah, I think if we were answering this question a few years ago, we'd be talking about how commercial decisions are made based on gut feel, of certain business functions, and not using and embracing data as much as they could or should, not using the right kinds of metrics. So being very heavily focused on sales and profit to drive every decision, even when it's got impacts around a customer. Now, I think in the last few years, that has started to change quite a lot. You know, people are, retailers are very much on board with putting customer data into these decisions, but I'd say they're still on this journey. So it is improving. People are looking to get there. But I think decision intelligence is the thing that could really crystallize that and put that customer data at the center of their decision making and get them to the place that they want to be. And as Damon's talked about there, I think that piece is all about breaking down those silos. So if you're committing to a machine learning or AI project, these are, intensive projects that you have to plow a lot of resources in, a lot of specialist resource, and they're costly to get done. So if you go to the effort of doing that in one department, you need to make sure that thing, the output, whether that's a forecast, a segmentation, a classification model, that needs to be productionized, and that needs to be providing value to the retailer day in, day out from that point on. And that resource needs to be shared with other departments so that they can layer upon the efforts that they're making in their particular focus, so that the whole decision making for a business can actually start to accelerate. And that's how we believe you could start to break down those silos. And it's to do with the organization and the cultural part of data as well. And things like data mesh have started to come to the fore. Well, let's not get into the ins and outs of data mesh, but all about that.
Go on, Adam, please. Let's get into data mesh.
Enlighten us.
Let's not. But the idea of creating value somewhere and owning that value and then letting different parts of the organization subscribe to your output is a really powerful concept. So that's how we could start to break these silos down. And really, accelerate people's journey towards better decision making.
We hear it a lot, don't we? We hear this kind of concept of federating data and federating AI across organizations. But, there's not many that we see in retail doing that really, really well. And just means there's a huge opportunity for them to connect these data sources and tools together, and make sure that that you're putting this kind of data and insight into the hands of the people that need it the most, and they're not all kind of asking the centralized team the same questions day in, day out, and then just getting queued up with everybody else that's asking for the same information. And ultimately it means that they don't make decisions quick enough, or they just go away and make them based on intuition or the traditional methods that they used to do.
And we've probably talked for a number of years about how you could break those barriers down, a lot of businesses not really quite getting there yet. So I think we've got to ask, like, why now as well? Why would 2023 be the year where this all starts to come together? And really, I think it's the piece around technology. So being in the cloud, being able to have people's data in the same place, the same ecosystem, being able to use the same tools and, affect data in the same areas, just starts to mean that this is a massive barrier is removed, and that's getting a lot closer than it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's some great points there. And I think what people don't understand is how practically, you know, how data and insight gets created and consumed and requested in organizations, in retail businesses. And this, to Damon's point there, what tends to happen is there's lots and lots and lots of requests that will go into a team and, you know, widespread frustration from business users that they can't get the insight that they really need to make these critical business decisions. And, you know, those decisions have more and more pressure, more and more weight to them now. So, you know, this idea of kind of democratizing access to data and insight to power better decisions is extremely important. And I guess we're not talking here about total automation, are we? We're talking about how you can help people in a retail business to make a great decision. Not it's not automating all the decisions. It's giving them the power, giving them the tools that they need.
Exactly. It's enabling them to automate the decisions and the processes that you know that need automating, and can help speed things up and free them up more time to put more effort into the kind of, you know, real research and development stuff that's often needed. It's about balancing that, really, I think.
Yeah.
And in that Forbes definition, you use the word augment, which is exactly the way, you know, we see it. We'll never replace high quality human decision making, but can we augment it? And then just to explore what augment means, because, you know, automation and having the right statistics at people's fingertips is really what BI has given us for, you know, a number of years. But that's only ever historical. It's looking back at what's happened. I think where decision intelligence comes in, and that piece around augmenting people's ability to go and make great decisions, you're entering the realm of how we enhance those KPIs, those stats, to become prescriptive and predictive, to allow simulation, to help guide decision makers around the possible outcomes of deciding what happens if I put my prices up, what happens if I target this customer group, what happens in all these certain scenarios. So it's going above and beyond where we've been in the past with BI.
Okay, and for retailers then, how exactly can they apply decision intelligence? So what actual decisions would decision intelligence help them to make more effectively?
Yeah, good question. There are so many applications of decision intelligence. We often talk about it as retail optimization, really, and optimizing decisions across a set of different areas. So we're talking around things like pricing, you know, intelligent pricing, marketing and media. You know, there's so many decisions that need to be made in marketing and media around what products should I get in front of what people, and how do I communicate them, and what channel through. And also things like assortment and range, you know, again, what products should I stock through what channels and get them in front of the right people, as well as supply chain. And, you know, I think supply chain gets forgotten about a lot of the time. You know, we talk about marketing and all these kind of front of action areas that are so important. But if you haven't got products available and the supply chain isn't working and your demand forecasting isn't working, then everything else falls down. This is why we talk about it as so connected. I think, you know, let's use an example. So let's use a pricing example. You know, any retailer can run some regression or price elasticity analysis to predict the impact of demand, impact on demand of any kind of given price change on an isolated product usually. But without knowing how related and substitutable that product is with a group of other products based on how consumers consider them in their mindset, they won't accurately be able to predict the impact of a price change on an overall range of products. And decision intelligence enables the creation of these foundational pieces of data to power a much more holistic set of predictive analytics, in my opinion. Having a more accurate forecast on demand means that you're more accurately ordering stock across a whole range of products, not just looking at them in isolation. So pricing decisions are thus interlinked with things like supply chain decisions. And that's what it's all about for me, connecting data and decisions across every function as a retailer.
Absolutely. Adam, would you add anything to those use cases?
No, not in terms of the use cases. I think they're, you know, that's obviously a huge breadth across a retail. If you're making smart decisions in those areas, you're going to be a pretty successful business.
Sorry, Adam, I covered every base there.
What I would say though is they're almost the optimization layer. They are the things, the decisions for which you can optimize. But I think we do need to say that underlying that, we recognize that retailers normally need a set of foundational data assets and insight to get there. So underpinning all of those things that Damon mentioned, a better understanding of what your products are in the consumer's eyes and what they mean and what their attributes are, how they're purchased, is always going to serve you well. And that is going to help you get to a better customer understanding as well. Who is that customer? What do they stand for? What are they going to be interested in? And really, it's we're interested in the connected piece around these decisions. So instead of just treating all of those areas that Damon mentioned as different silos where you go and make isolated decisions in those, how do we get those areas speaking to each other? And it always normally comes back to this tremendous understanding of your products and your customers to get into that optimization layer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those decisions that we've been talking about, if you think about it from your own perspective as a consumer, what's going to make you buy from a retailer? The product range that they're offering me, how they price it, is it you know, good, does it feel like good value? Do they kind of market to me in a way that feels personalized and individual? Do they try to offer me the products that are most relevant to my needs? And is the product on the shelf when I want to buy it? Which plays to that demand forecasting piece. So you can see it's a logical set of decisions from a consumer perspective as well as the retailers. So yeah, I agree with those.
And retailers need to put themselves in the minds of, you know, everybody's a consumer. I think sometimes you can forget a little bit the impact on the consumer of all these things that you're doing. And I think you always have to wind back to that and put yourself back in the shoes of the consumer and how that's impacting their customer experience. And you know, that's key to all of this really.
Another piece around decision intelligence, especially from, you know, the Google perspective, was causality. So getting to if I optimize X, I'll see Y result, and really getting to the root of causality. And that's a really difficult thing to do. So there's a huge field of causal ML springing up, and, you know, people are putting a lot of time into these problems, and rightly so. And that understanding of a customer and who they are and what they stand for is a great foundational starting point for getting towards causality, so that you can not only make decisions with confidence or see things, but you can measure them in the right way, so that you know, I've made a set of great decisions there. Let's go on to power the next set of decisions as well.
Okay. And what kind of data do retailers typically feed into this decision intelligence mix? So we're kind of talking about it like it's second nature, but what kind of data sets are we typically talking about here?
Yeah, so I mean, it is a really broad subject, but I think let's put this back into, I guess, the types of data that we use to power some of the different areas of retail that we work within. And you know, I think Adam's already mentioned it, there's kind of some real fundamental data sources that you need to be able to power these decisions. Across things like marketing, pricing, and range, and so on. So firstly, I think we talk about transactional data or order data, whatever you want to call it. This is basically, you know, sales data. Every single retailer has this in some way, shape, or form. Secondly, we talk about product data. So what products do you sell? How do you currently describe them and any features that you've built against those products? And how do they fit in with your taxonomy? You know, what are the categories and how do they sit within there? How have you designed that designed that taxonomy, whether it's online or whether it's how you show them on a shelf in store? Thirdly, any customer level data that you might have. This is key really because it enables you to link historic transactions to each and every customer. And also you may have some detail about each customer, you know, demographics, their age, their location, and any segments that you've already created against those. And then finally, click data is also a big thing. You know, if you trade online, every single click or interaction a consumer makes can be captured. And it's hugely powerful when understanding consumer behavior and the decisions they make. You know, it's not always easy to capture that stuff in store around what they're picking up off of the shelves, but online you can, because you see them actually clicking them. And you know, that those are the four real key data sources for me, augmented with any other data that you have in the business, but they're the four ones for me.
Okay, good stuff. And coming to you then on the question, so why do you think it's so important for a decision maker in a retail business to have access to data and insight, and what does that access actually need to look like for them? You know, how can they be served data and insight to help them to do their job really effectively?
Yeah, I think the summary point is probably pace of decision making. So I think if you talk to any executive, they're desperate to make decisions, and they want to do that with confidence, and they want to do that quickly. I think everybody gets that will drive commercial outcomes, better customer experiences, and do that all faster, add to the company's bottom line as well. So, yeah, I think people are just crying out for more pace. But to have pace, you've got to have confidence. So how do you get to that? And I think where we are right now is, you know, we have these siloed pockets of intelligence across businesses. We've got lots of BI, you know, retrospective views of what's happened historically. In terms of high-level trends, not always in terms of the decisions you've made. So I'd add to the data that Damon's talking about there, which is the what's happened. I think you need to capture the and what have we tried to influence in the past as well, which is, you know, we changed this price, what happened, how have we measured that, we've done this campaign, how did that go, how should we adapt our decision making going forwards. So There are pockets of those things that exist in retailers when we see them. I think it's important to bring that together in a more holistic framework, coming back to that idea of layering, so that you layer your data assets on top of each other. So if you build a forecast in one place for supply chain, it benefits the guys in marketing or vice versa. So, yeah, really, I think it's the... they're kind of crying out for this framework and set of tools that gives them more confidence to make faster decision making.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, data is literally the lifeblood, or it should be the lifeblood of any organization, you know, not just in retail. And we see it more and more these days that those companies that are putting data at the heart of their business are setting themselves up for a greater chance of success. And ultimately, they're the ones that are succeeding in today's climate.
Absolutely. And can you think of any particular examples of retailers or consumer focused businesses that seem to be applying decision intelligence really successfully?
Yeah, I mean, apart from all of our clients, of course, which I won't name on this call, I think there are a few retailers that stand out to me when it comes to data led decisions. I mean, let's start with the obvious ones, you know, the likes of Amazon and Tesco even. These two giants have been collecting data and putting it at the heart of all their decisions for years and years. You know, Tesco Club Card enabled a unique view of essentially you are what you eat. And Amazon is perhaps the biggest marketplace for pretty much anything in the world. So the amount of data they capture is absolutely insane. You know, just think of the possibilities that they have with their data and how they use that. And they are using that. I think in the US, where the use of customer data is probably a little bit more free and easy. Retailers like Nordstrom seem to be, you know, innovating loads when it comes to things like marketing personalization. You know, Nike are always innovating and creating more immersive customer experiences, whether in store or online. In the UK, I think the major grocery chains are doing some really great things with data and providing whole new revenue streams for their businesses through actually monetizing their data. You know, selling media assets to the brands that they stock. You know, that's a kind of a reasonably newish initiative that a lot of retailers are starting to work with now. And also, companies like ASOS do some really good stuff with AI things like visual search, which enables customers to get to the right products really, really quickly, utilizing their own, you know, photographic assets. Yeah, they seem to be doing some really good stuff. I think that given the kind of, I guess, birth of ChatGPT and these kind of large language model capabilities that are coming to the fore, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how retailers adopt these, especially when it comes to kind of, you know, searching for products online in particular. Are they going to start to try to use these more conversational principles so consumers can get to the right products quicker? So yeah, interesting times ahead, I think, with the birth of this kind of new, more accessible, large-scale AI.
Fantastic. Thanks, Damon. And Adam, I'm going to come to you with the final question. So any advice for retailers about how they can actually get started with decision intelligence?
Yeah, so that's a tricky question. I think it'd be to do a bit of a stock take and assess the lay of the land within their organization about how they make decisions. So, you know, what areas would they like to inject that pace into? Where would they like to make faster decisions with more confidence? And where they would spot that they're struggling in those particular areas, it's worth a mapping exercise to say, how do we actually arrive at the decisions that we do, and where is that data fueled, and you know, what are the improvements there to be had? I think once you start mapping that across a lot of your key decisions, and you engage with your data teams and your data science teams to say, I need to make this decision better, and at this point in my process, it could be more data-driven and data-fueled. What can you channel your resources and brains towards to help me make smart decisions there? I think you arrive at somewhere which is similar to our model of saying, invest a lot of your time into understanding your products and customers really, really well. Invest into creating really usable tools for specific decisions. So, you know, if you need to make impactful decisions regularly in your business, such as pricing decisions or what customers are targeted in marketing campaigns, or how you deploy those kind of resources, they're costly decisions that need making on a frequent basis. So how can you start to map those processes out and inject these data assets that help you get there, and the tools that those decision makers actually need? And I think if a lot of retailers were honest with themselves, I don't think they actually know how they arrive at a lot of decisions right now. I think it'd be an illuminating exercise for a lot of companies to do that, and really give themselves the framework for bringing AI into useful places to fuel better decision making.
Yeah, I think the main thing for me is that, you know, literally any retailer can adopt these principles and decision intelligence principles. You don't have to be massive, capturing trillions of rows of data. And I think a good place to start for any retailer is really to just conduct a thorough audit of current processes, the data they capture, and the technology that they've already adopted, and ask decision makers across the business whether they feel like their current technology stack is working for them. You know, can they get their hands on the right data to enable them to do their jobs properly ultimately? And start with that as a roadmap and see where you are and where you want to get to. And I look at it as three layers, really. And, you know, you can start wherever you want, depending on how mature you are as a business. Talk about the enterprise layer. Really, all I'm talking about here is this kind of centralized data store or repository of data built in modern, you know, modern architecture that's both accessible and scalable, but fit for purpose, I guess, as data scales. The next layer, which I think is often missed, is what we call the intelligence layer or the decision intelligence layer. And again, you know, we've spoken about this, but it's about putting the right tools in place to allow the teams that need data and insight the most to access solutions, utilize AI, data science, and BI to enable them to do their jobs better or make, you know, better commercially focused decisions using data. And then the final layer for me is about selecting the right activation platform for your business. Here I'm talking about content management, ERP or CRM systems. And to me, this layer in particular is an absolute minefield of technology. And it's a really, really tough decision to understand which technology will work best for you as a business. My simple advice would probably be, you know, especially if you've implemented a decision intelligence layer, is select an activation platform that is very good at what it should be good at, activation, not kind of good at a load of different things. You know, I see so many activation platforms that also claim to be CDPs or AI platforms, but in reality, they aren't fit for purpose, or they take that much configuration that then just never get implemented properly. And I think, you know, I in particular, but I think we all probably concur on this, that we feel so strongly that there's not one silver bullet platform that can be all things to all people. Instead, you should really select a few technology partners that do things amazingly well and that are connectable across those layers. That for me is, you know, the holy grail of where you need to get to, but you can start at any part of that.
Fantastic. What an excellent point to finish on. So decision intelligence, clearly a very, very powerful tool, especially for retailers who are looking to compete and succeed in what is a really challenging market. That brings us to the end of the episode. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe via your favorite podcast platform, tell a colleague, or send your feedback to peterdenby@hyperfinity.ai. Well worth keeping tuned for future episodes. We've got some great guests coming up, so Hyperfinity staff and also some external guests working for major retailers, so keep tuned for those. Thanks to my guests, Damon and Adam.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Lovely. And we hope to see you all next time.